all had went well, you would have seen by now three slides of an art depiction of Jonah in the whale. The first one that you would have seen when you entered the sanctuary would have been Jonah getting swallowed up by a big goldfish. The second and third would have been, or the second, I forgot how many I put in there, anyway, it doesn't matter. The second would have been the picture of a monster fish who had gotten tired of the taste of the old cantankerous and spit him out. The one that would have been up during our worship time would be one that I'll speak about in a moment. But my point is that the story of Jonah in the belly has been depicted by many, many different art forms, whether it be paintings or drawings or sculptures or wood carvings or woodcuts, just all over the genre, if you will, has been illustrations of Jonah and the big fish. Disney got in on the act. Of course, they don't want to not be in on the act. So Mickey Mouse is standing in the belly of the whale by himself looking at a rib. Pinocchio searches for his father Geppetto, who has been already eaten by the whale. And then Pinocchio, our little puppet friend, finds himself in the belly himself. And there's this piece of the cartoon where you see him in the belly, Pinocchio, and he's there, and all these fish are around him, and as you watch the little vignette, he keeps getting hit in the face by another fish that gets swallowed by the whale. VeggieTales is in on it. Even Bart Simpson gets in on Jonah and the whale. Suffice it to say, Jonah, like Jesus, has made people millions of dollars in merchandise and movies. What would be on the screen is a woodcut from James West called Jonah and the Whale, which is at the Smithsonian Art Museum in Washington, D.C. That would have been a cutting of a very dark Jonah being in the whale. It's a very dark cutting. But I wanted to use that cutting to illustrate the darkness that we face in our life. The darkness that invades us, the darkness that crosses our lives, the darkness that captures us, and sometimes the darkness that overtakes us. The darkness of getting stuck in the belly. So for Jonah, a fish is provided to save him from hell, quite literally. But it doesn't happen to after Jonah does one very important thing. God just doesn't come down and say, well, you poor misfortunate thing. He waits for Jonah to respond. And chapter 2 is his response. It is a prayer. If you look at verse 2, I call to the Lord out of my distress, and he answers me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cry, and you hear my voice. In other words, I'm crying to you, God, out of my own hell. Get me out, is his prayer. I've prayed such myself, perhaps you as well. Then in verse 6, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought my life from the pit. In other words, you brought my life up out of hell. So God saved this old cantankerous prophet so that he could come up and straighten up those old sinful Ninevites so they could be people of God. Yes, that's the point of Jonah and the whale, right? For some old cantankerous to straighten some people up that God would straighten up. Redemption to Jonah first, then to the people of Nineveh, though Joseph was reluctant. But it's not redemption where I'm going to necessarily take you this morning. Rather, I'm going to take you into the belly. Why? Because we know the belly. You and I, we know the darkness. And those of whom we prayed for earlier today know the darkness. And those of us who have people in our lives, relatives and friends, some of them, yes, too, are in. Yes, people who profess the Abrahamic faith, us Christians, the Jews, Islam, those who profess other religions, those who profess no religions at all, we all succumb to spending time in that dark place of life. Dark moments when we feel like Jonah, distressed, where the bars are closing in on us. The last 13 years of my ministry has been to those in the Sheol of the disease of opiate addiction. The addiction that has no cure, but only remission. A neurodevelopmental disease, indeed a psychiatric illness. Or opiate dependency disorder. And people like us have been swallowed up innocently by having given prescription drugs, and they took those drugs to relieve themselves of pain, only to discover that as they took those drugs and needed more, it was not only their pain they were treating, but also an addiction that they didn't even choose to have, but now have. August 27th, there was an article in the Roanoke Times where a former Giles County doctor, these numbers are staggering, prescribed in one day 9,600 pain medication pills of opioids to 33 patients and didn't see one of them. Now, if there's sin, there it is. There are people around us who can't handle negative emotions. They can't handle their memories of abuse. They need something to relieve the trauma of flashbacks, to deal with their post-traumatic stress disorder, to deal with their combat injuries. Yes, those brave men and women who have suffered explosions on the desert battlefield, who now are dependent on opiates for pain and for addiction. Our neighbors living in the belly of the darkness of drug addiction, they're around us, my friends, and perhaps in our own homes. These are the ones to whom I minister because they need hope. They need a light to shine into their darkness so that the world of recovery might come to them. They need a second chance, just like Jonah. There are minutes when people suffer from loneliness. Loneliness in nursing homes or loneliness in their own homes. When they are there, either bedridden or sitting in a chair or in bed, day after day, night after night, in the deep despair of loneliness because nobody shows up. But a CNA, maybe, or a home health care worker. So we should never discount the importance of our card ministry and our reaching out to those who are in nursing homes and are homebound, because I suspect it's a very lonely world. So, but it's not just the addicted or the people in nursing homes or homes that are homebound who are stuck in the belly, but it's people that's all around us, the darkness of living in despair, of living with a terminal illness, of having to battle a relationship that just is no good, or having to battle a marriage that needs to dissolve. Or for the person who will go to work with all intentions of putting in a good day's work, and they show up and somebody's already at their place saying to them, "You don't work here anymore." Darkness. Those who night after night and day after day are emotionally, physically, and sexually abused. Friends, what people do to other people would turn a whale's stomach. Point is, good people, these folks who are stuck in the belly of a whale, who wonder if there is any hope for their darkness in their own shoal, for all practical purposes, some of them feel dead. And Jonah was dead. He was deep in the netherworld. He was there for 3 days, and for 3 days it meant that he had no breath. He was in total darkness. He was dead. Because that's the ancient thought, is it not? After 3 days, your spirit leaves your body, and you're done. You're dead. In the biblical thought, in the ancient thought. In the Matthew passage that was read earlier, the gospel writer has Jesus relate to Jonah's time in the well, saying, "I will be dead 3 days. Those are the days I'll be in the tomb." And Acts tells us that Jesus comes to Saul on the road to Damascus. And what's Saul doing in Damascus? Well, he's there because he's going after more people, just like he went after Stephen. He's out to kill himself some Christians. And it's there that Jesus, the Christ, confronts him, and he sends Paul into darkness. The apostle, the gospel tells us, is he is blinded for 3 days. And as I look at that, what occurs to me that Paul is dead and alive at the same time. He has no sight. He only has the sight inside his own brain and inside his own heart. That deep dive into Sheol led Paul to a new life, to living for Christ. Jonah was dead forever, eaten by the great fish. Jesus was dead forever when he went into the tomb. Because you see, the disciples and the Marys, they were all hoping that Jesus was the Messiah. But then, one day turned into one night. And 2 days turned into two nights. They hoped and they prayed. God heard the prayer of Jonah. and the old hard head was spewed up out of the belly. Mary ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch her and got to the disciples and to the other Marys, and crying and exciting, she exploded, "He is alive! I've seen him!" Their doubt, though, disciples, continued, and they continued to hope, and they continued to pray, and suddenly, shalom, from a familiar voice. And there he stood in their midst, alive. And the Lord said to Ananias in a dream, "Go over there to Saul. Get those scales off his eyes so he can see, and then give him the Holy Spirit." And then Paul became alive. And the rest is history. The good news came to the Gentiles, and the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ, in fact, it grew so much, it grew right here to Clonalap. There have been times, I will tell you, that I've been in the belly. Those dark places where I wish more than anything that God would just take his arm and just reach down into the belly of that old whale and pull me out. But it didn't happen. We could all use a miracle or two every now and again. But miracles don't always happen as much as something else always happens. That the light of Christ shines in our darkness. And our good Lord reaches down and begins to show us all of the possibilities that are available to us. And we find light and possibilities in our despair. God's arm, the possibilities, God's light, Jesus Christ. So what got John out of the belly of the whale? Because that old cantankerous prophet-to-be began to think of the possibilities of living for God. And yeah, he stayed kind of reluctant, and he wasn't too happy with the fig tree. I would have been, because I love figs, but I wasn't Jonah. That was a side note. I didn't even write that in there. That was just that. Came to me out of nowhere. And maybe there's one place. Well, I guess this ability is Christ, isn't it? And the possibilities that God gives us. God provides you and I and other people a loving, caring, compassionate place to be, where when we're in the belly of a whale, or the great fish, our own despair and darkness, we're here for each other, and we're here for others to come as well. Because you see, research tells us that church is so important at getting people out of the belly, out of their distress, out of their despair. And we are to be people who shine the light and speak God's possibilities to those who need it. The Hartford Medical letter that was published last month in an article on the death from despair. And that article actually really shows how important Clonal Avenue Baptist Church is for people who are stuck in the belly. It's a short article, so I'll read it to you. The United States has reported an increased number of death from despair. That is, death from substance abuse, suicide, and alcohol poisoning. Antidepressants and psychotherapy is often used to help people who are having a hard time coping with extremely difficult times and who are at the risk of dying because of it. A recent Harvard study found that another strategy may also play a part in countering despair: attending religious services. A study published on March the 6th, 2020, in the Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry evaluated self-reporting religious services by among 110,000 men and women middle-aged who have been tracked longitudinally for 30 years. Compared with never having attended a religious service, going to at least one service a week is associated with a lower rate of death by despair, 68% by women, 37% by men. Research says that religious participation, regardless of affiliation, may serve as an antidote to despair and provide a substantial sense of hope, meaning, peace, and a positive outlook. Also, faith-based organizations promote social gatherings and connection and preach against self-injury and substance use. The study, though observational, and does not prove that regular going to religious service prevents death by despair. However, we know that from other Harvard research that using religion to cope is associated with improving outcomes with those with serious psychiatric illnesses. Now, my quote, also the people in the belly. Good Christians of Colonial Avenue Baptist Church, we have a mission: to be a people and a place of open arms, welcoming those who are in darkness, who are stuck in the belly. Because you see, sometimes, or someday, I mean, it might be me again in the great darkness of depression. Or someday it might be you who are in the darkness of despair. Or it might be someone just happens to find this building on a Sunday morning and staggers in despair. And they need hope. They need hope in the darkness. Those who are in the darkness of illness and loneliness, in any kind of sort of despair there may be, this church is to be the light of hope, the love of Christ, the arm of God to offer possibilities. Or maybe someone that is in your orbit who is stuck in the belly, and they need you, Christian. It may be you who need the rest of us to simply hold you and minister to you in your darkness. If so, don't be afraid, because we're going to sit with you and we're going to hope and we're going to pray, because that's what it means to be people.